Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. We had learned in the lengthy brisa that we had discussed in the previous shiur, and the Gemara is working through literally word by word of that brisa. The brisa continued saying, Avol Oral Oinin Yoshev. These are three more disqualifications I'm doing in the Avoida. Unlike the previous disqualifications that were mentioned in that Brisa that carry with them a punishment of Mises Bezdin, these situations, Oral, Onan, and Yoshev, carry with them an Ashara Alav. Ask the Gemara, Oral Minolan, from where do we know that an Oral is usher to do the Avoida? Amar of Chizda, Davos of Matarus Moshe Rabbeinu Loi Lamanu. It's not explicitly mentioned in the Chumash. Until Yecheskel ben Buzi mentioned it in his Sefer in Yecheskel, the pasuk says, "Kol ben necher aral leiv aral basar lo yava al mikdashi l'shoseini." Somebody who's a ben necher, that means he's in a apikoyus, he's a mumel avodz kochavim. Rashi says, or he's an oral basar, may not do the avoda. So the Rishonim discuss, what is the situation of an oral basar that's being mentioned here? Rashi explains that it's referring to the situation of Meso Echav Machmas Mila. The two of his previous brothers passed away during the Mila, and therefore the halach is that this next child should not have a Mila, but he's still disqualified from doing the Avoida. Because, as the Aruch Lener explains, if it's referring to a person who deliberately is not having a mila, the halacha is somebody who deliberately is not having a mila is chayiv kares for being mevatel mitzvah saseh of mila. Other rishonim have explained that the aral bas that's being mentioned here is a person who did not have a mila, not because he deliberately doesn't want to have a mila, but he's scared to have a mila. He's worried about the operation, and that the halacha is that person, even though theoretically, halachically, he's an oinus, but he can't do the avoida. Furthermore, as we mentioned in our previous year, it's not that Yecheskel made up this rule. A Navi, as we know, has no right to make up a rule. Rather, the halacha that an oral is not allowed to do the avoida, and if he does the avoida, he's chayiv alav, was a halacha l'moshim Sinai that was never recorded until Yecheskel came and recorded it in his Sefer Yecheskel. The next case that we discussed was an oinen. An oinen is a person who lost one of his close relatives. Midaraisa, someone's an oinen on the day of the Ptira. Midrabanan, he's an oinen until the Kfura. Ask the Gemara, oinen menolon, the Ksiv, or mena migdash lo yetse, v'lo yichal es migdash halakov. The Torah speaks to a kohen gadol. The Torah tells the kohen gadol that he, if he does the avoida, he should do the avoida, even though he's Rachman Tzlan and Ainin, and that if he does the avoida under those circumstances, he doesn't desecrate it. Hal Acher, any other kain, Shlayotza, that doesn't leave the Beis Hamikdash, that continues doing the avoida when he is an Ainin, Chilel. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that we're applying the word Chilel to an Ainin who does the avoida. If so, Amalei Rav Adel Rava, V'neilef, Chilel Chilel Metruma. So many times in our previous shiur did we learn that the Torah uses the word Chilel regarding a Kayan who's Tameh that eats the Truma. That the Torah uses the word Chilel. And as we learned in our previous shiur, the halach is that a Kayan who eats Tameh who eats Truma is Chai Misab De Shemayim. So why don't we say the same here? Ma'la Halon, just like the halach is by that case of Chilel. There's an Oinish of Misab De Shemayim. Afkan, here too by an Oinin. It shouldn't just be a lav if somebody does the Avoida as an Oinin, but rather should be Misa. Should be a Chi Misab De Shemayim. Answers the Gemara. Mik Sibbe Begufe. If the Torah explicitly used the word Chilel regarding a Kayan who does the Avoida as an Oinin, it would be a very strong question. And indeed suggests the Gemara, the halacha would be that a Kayan doing the Avoida as an Oinin would be Chai Misab De Shemayim. But it's not as we said a moment ago, that the Torah explicitly uses the word chilel regarding an einan. It's only miklale ka'asi. It's only because the Torah says that the kain gadol is not mechalel, so we learned by inference that the other kayanim are mechalel. So this is a situation of havadavim ba'am and a klal. It's something that we only deducted. We only deduced. It's not something that we actually learned explicitly. And the rule is that if something is only learned in such a method, it's only learned by inference, not that the pasuk says it explicitly, called davar gavur min haklal cannot be used, ein dona yisub gzeir shava, we can't use it for gzeir shava, and therefore there is no basis for gzeir shava between einein and a kohen that ate, kohen tameh that ate truma. The next case that we mentioned at the beginning of a shir, of someone who is over a lav, is Yosef, somebody who does the avoida sitting. Ask the Gemara Manolan, from how do we know that halacha? Says the Gemara Amar Rav Amar Rav Nachman Amar Kro, Ki ba bacha Hashem alokecha, mikol shvatecha la melasharis. Says the Gemara, the Pshasuk is teaching us, la mida b'chartiv, he was chosen to do his avoida in a standing position, for loyal yeshiva, not in a sitting position. The Braisa continued saying that what is the halacha, what is the punishment for a balmum, a kohen who's a balmum who does the avoida? So the Braisa said it's a machlokes. Rabbi Omer did tzachi misa b'dei shemayim. V'cham Omerim, a balmum that does the avoida is a chiv ashar, it's a chiv lav. Ask the Gemara, my time of the Rebbe, what's the basis of Rebbe's opinion? The ksiv, ach ala proiches lo yavoi. The Torah says that the kohen who is about mum achapros layavai v'lo yichalal, and if he does come, he's mechalal. And now says Rabbi Yalef chilal chilal mitruma. Now we learn exeris shava from truma malahalon. Just like by truma, we just explained that a kohen tameh who eats truma there's a chiv a misa b'dei shemayim. Afkan the balmum who we're learning from that, because we have Gzer Shav of Chilul, will also be subject, to Misa B'dei Shemayim if he does the Avoida. Ask the Gemara, as we've asked so many times, V'nelef Chiluf Chiluf Minoiser, why don't we preferably learn the Gzer Shav from Noiser, where the Torah also uses the word Chilul, and therefore the Gzer Shav would teach us Mala Halon, just like by Noiser, the punishment for eating Noiser is a Chiv Karis. Afkan, a Balmum, who does the Avoida will be Chayiv Karis. Answers the Gemara. Mestaber Metruma have a little Meimuf. It makes more sense to learn it from Truma. She came Psulaguf. A Balmum is a Psulaguf. Somebody whose Tomei is a Psulaguf. And therefore it makes sense to learn Psulaguf mi Psulaguf. To learn the Halacha of Balmum, which is a Psulaguf, from the Halacha of a Kayan Tamei, which is a Psulaguf. Ask the Gemara, you could argue differently. At the Rabbah, Menoiser have Leila Melef. It makes more sense to learn from Noiser, because Noiser has all the following common characteristics with a Balmum. It both refers to Kaidish, that we're referring to a situation that involve Kabonis. Pnim, they involve Avoidus in the Beis HaMikdash, and they involve Kabonis, which can become pigul or nicer, whereas truma cannot become truma nicer, a pigul or nicer. And therefore the Gemara is saying, why do we think that it's a better match to learn the halach of a bamum from the halach of a kain who's tamei? Isn't it a better match to learn from nicer? Says the Gemara, correct. It makes sense to learn the halach of a bamum from the halach of a tamei Kayin who does the avoida, which both are psulaguf mi psulaguf, they both are defects in the kayin himself. Here he's a balmum, here he's tamei. They both reflect situations of kaidish, of doing avoidas with kabanis. They both reflect situation of pnim, avoid in the base of migdash, and pigal of a meiser, that are objects that could become pigal of a meiser, mikaidish. Pnim Tegel V'Naisa. That's why it's a better match. Ask Tosfos a tremendous kasha. He says, in our previous shir, we learned, the Gemara said it twice, that what's the best match? The best match is when the words are the same. And that's what the Gemara said twice in yesterday's shir, that where the Torah uses the word chilel, b'loshen rabim, that, and another place the Torah uses the word chilel, b'loshen rabim, that is the best kseir shava to learn. So Tosfos asks, you have to be consistent. Look at the chilel that the Torah uses by noiser. The chilel that the Torah uses by noiser is loshen yochid. The chilel, yichalel, that the Torah uses by balmum is loshen yochid. The chilel that the Torah uses by tuma is loshen rabim. So why now doesn't the Gemara say that we should learn a balmum from noiser? Because in both of those situations that the Torah used the word chilel b'loshen yachid, rather than learning from Tomesh Shimesh, where the Torah used chilel b'loshen rabim, which the Gemara, as I said, mentioned that line of reasoning twice in our previous daf. So Tosfos answers, the common characteristic of psul haguf that exists between Tomesh Shimesh and Balmum is such a strong common denominator that it supersedes everything else. And therefore, even though the wording of the psukim would maybe point in the direction of learning from Nicer, this common denominator, this common characteristic, that a psul haguf overrides everything else, and that's why we learn from Tomesh Shimesh. That's Tosfos' teretz. But I saw another teretz. Yes, the fact that the Torah uses the same word, as we've said, and we're actually going to say it again today, Shir, is a very strong indicator what the Gzeirah Shava ought to be. However, yes, as I said a moment ago, Taisha says it, Emes, the word Chilel that the Torah uses by Noiser is Loshen Yochid. The word Chilel that the Torah uses by Balmum is Loshen Yochid. However, even though they're both Loshen Yochid, they're very different. Because by a Balmum, it says Yichalel, Loshen Osid. By Noiser, the Torah uses it Loshen Yochid, Chilel, a Loshen Avar. So even though they're both Loshen Yochid, but one is Avar in the past tense, and one is Osid in the future tense. So we can't say that that's such a great match, and therefore we prefer to say the match between Balmum and Tomesh Shimesh is a better match. So this is the basis for Rebbe's opinion, why Balmum, who does the Avoida, is Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rabbanan say, how do we know that the chiv is only a chiv azhara? Because the Torah uses the word boy to teach us boy that only a tamei, koin tamei de ichuma, is chayim misab de shemayim, v'loi b'balmum, but not by balmum. So Rashi asks a gevaldige kasha. Rashi says the Torah uses the word boy regarding the koin tamei who did the avoida. And boy is coming to be mamat, to exclude a case. But if we remember, in yesterday's shir, we learned so many different halachas from the din of a tamei de'ei truma. We learned many different halachas. So why does the Gemara specifically choose Balmum to be the case that we're going to exclude versus all the other halachas we learned in yesterday's shir? So Rashi answers, because of all the other halachas that we learned from the pasuk of Tamei refer to situations of Tumah. Balmum has nothing to do with Tumah. So if I'm going to have to exclude something, the most sensible thing to exclude is Balmum, because it has the least in common with Tumah. It has no Tumah aspect to either. We learned also in yesterday's Braisa, Hezid B'Mila, as I explained in the previous year. Mila B'Hegdish, if somebody benefits from Hegdish, the taste that the Torah discusses is when it was done B'Shoigik. What is the halach of somebody was moil behegdish b'mezid deliberately? So here too we have a machlokes. Rabbi Omer, it carries with it a chiv misab de shemayim. The Chum Omer carries with it as hara chiv lav. Ask the Gemara my time of the Rabbi. Omer avua, gom chet chet mitruma. The Torah uses the word here chet, and the Torah uses by truma chet. Ma, as we've been learning, by truma the chiv is misa. Afkan, the chiv misa. Here the Rabbanan again say the Elimad, Amakra boy, only by Truma Tameya is there a Chiv Misu De Shemayim, V'loi B'Mila, there's only Chiv Lav, not Misu De Shemayim, a Chiv Malkus. We learned regarding Zor Shishimish B'Migdash, Vezor did the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, the Machlokes in the Mishnah, if there's a Chiyuv Chenek or there's a Chiyuv Skila. Tanya, this goes back to our Mishnah. Tanya, Reb Shmuel, I'm a Nemar Kam Vezor Kar of Yumas, Vinemar Misav De Shemayim, Vinemar Hal Kolok, again, Machlokes Reb Shmuel Reb Kiva. Reb Shmuel says there's a Chiyuv Misav De Shemayim, Reb Kiva says there's a Chiyuv Skila. Explains the Gemara, the Braisa, the basis of this machlokes. Reb Shmuel Amar Nemakan, it says regarding a Zor doing the Avoida, the Zor Kar of Yumas, the Nemal Halon regarding Dadas Kairach, Kala Kar of Mishkan Hashem Yomus, Mala Halon, we know that Das Kairach had Misab De Shemayim, therefore through the Gzer Shavu we learn that similarly a Zor who does the Avoida will have Misab De Shemayim. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel comes to his opinion. But Kiva Omer, Kiva has a different basis. Nema kan v'azara kar of Yumas, v'nema lahalan v'anavi ahu. If a Navi comes and says false nevuah, says tries to influence people to chas v'shalom worship avodah zarah, the pasuk says v'anavi ahu achaylem achalem ahu Yumas, ma lahalan, the Navi that tries to influence people to worship avodah zarah, schiv skila, afkan skila. Now the Gemara introduces a third opinion that wasn't in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that Mala Halon, just like the Navi who tries to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, gets Mises Chenek, Afkan here too, the Zor that does the Avodah has a Chiyuv Chenek. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. What is the basis of the Machlokes of Bishmar Bekiva? Says the Gemara. Bekiva Sova, Doran Yumas Me Yumas, Vein Donan Yumas Miyamas. And this way the Rishonim explain very much in line what we've been learning for 2 days already. Learning Gzeir Shava between the word Yomus and Yumas, even though they're not the exact same word, is perfectly fine. However, says Rabbi Kiva, if I have a choice, I have two words that are identical, Yumas, Yumas, or I have a Gzeir Shava, or I have two words that are not identical, I'm always going to look for identical words. So says Rabbi Kiva, since the Torah uses the words Yumas regarding the Zor, and the Torah uses the word Yumas regarding the Navi, but the word by Kairach is Yomus, so it's a more identical, better match with the Navi, and that's why I learned it from the Navi. Donan Yumas mi Yumas, vein donan Yumas mi Yumas. Rabbi Shmuel, so how does Rabbi Shmuel respond to Rabbi Kiva? He says, absolutely, you are correct, Rabbi Kiva. But there's an overriding reason why not to do that here. Because Doran Hedjit Mehedjit, the situation of a Zor was a situation of a Hedjit, a regular Jew. The situation of a Das Kairach referred to regular Jews. Vein Doran Hedjit Menavi. You want to learn the Aloch of a regular Zor from the Aloch of a Navi. It's two different types of people. This is a Navi, this is a Zor. How does Rabbi Kiva defend himself? And therefore Rabbi Shmuel prefers to learn from a Das Kairach versus learning from the Navi, that Navi. Rabbi Kiva, how does Rabbi Kiva defend himself? Rabbi Kiva says he's a regular Jew, he's not a Navi. Kivin Shediach, if he's trying to influence people to do Avodah Zarah, Ein Lecha Hedjit Gadol Mizeh, and therefore it's a situation of Hedjit Mehedjit. Continues the Gemara. We just mentioned at the end of this price, the Machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if the Zor gets Chenek or Skila, and it was based on what is the punishment of a Novi Shehidiach. Asked the Gemara, what is the basis of this Machloikis? But my Kamefagi Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says the Gemara, it's an old Machloikis that we're actually going to learn the Ayin Tet, we're actually going to learn the Pei Tes. Look to Rabbi Shimon Rabbon, the Tanya, Novi Shehidiach Skila. So if a Novi gets Shehidiach gets Skila, and now we're learning Zereshav that so will the Dibbi by Zor, that's why the Zor gets Skila. Shimon Rabbi Bechanek, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says he gets Chenek. And since he gets Chenek, since the Navi gets Chenek, and now we're learning Zer Shava, the Zor too will get Chenek. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, we have a very big kasha. Hanan Tanan, Rekiva Yom Bechenek. Rekiva is the man, the Amr, that holds that the Navi Shidich gets Chenek. So Rekiva holds that he gets Chenek, so should be done by a Zor. Yet here in the Braisa and in the Mishnah, it says that Rekiva holds that the Navi Shidiach, that the Zor gets Skila, seemingly because he holds that the Navi Shidiach gets Skila. Answers the Gemara, Treta Navi Leib Rabbi Kiva. It's machloikis tanoim, what is Rabbi Akiva's opinion regarding a Navi Shidiach? Masnisin, Rabbi Shimon Valib Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah that quotes Rabbi Akiva holding that he gets chenek is Rabbi Shimon's version of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Navi Shidiach gets chenek, and so too will be the halacha regarding Zar Shishimish. Whereas the Braisa is the opinion of the Rabbana Valib Rabbi Akiva, that according to Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Akiva, the Navi Shidiach gets skila, and now the Gzeres Shavah teaches us that so too will be the din regarding the Zar Shishimesh getting chenek, getting skila. Harim lach harim lach nisrafim, harim lach elan nisrafim, harim lach elan nisrafim. Says the Mishnah, Ewein and Achnokim. It's interesting to note that we're going to learn, as our Gemara teaches us, Perek Elohen and Achnokim. If you look in the Mishnayis, the order of the Perakim are actually reversed. The Mishnayis has Perak Chelik as the 10th Perak, and Eilein Achnokim as the 11th Perak. The Mefarshim explain why. Because we just discussed in the previous Shiurim all the people who do terrible Averis, and their terrible Averis cause them that they shouldn't have Eilem Haba, and that's why the subject of Perak Chelik belongs there, because Perak Chelik speaks about the people who have Eilem Haba and the people who lose their Eilem Haba. Furthermore, the end of our perek discusses the halacha of Edom Zomim. We're actually going to discuss Edom Zomim even in today's shiur briefly. And the next Masechta we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem is Masechta Makkos. We all know that a primary subject of Masechta Makkos is Edom Zomim. So there are Rishonim that suggest, and that's what the Mishnayis order represents, that this perek should be the last perek of the Masechta, which is a perfect connection to Masechta Makkos discussing Edom Zomim. But again, even though that's the order in the Mishnayis, we will follow, as all the other Loim Dei Hadafa Yoimi, the order of the Gemara. We're going to learn Eilein and Achnokim. And the order is based that our Perakim are following an order. First, that we learned Eilein and Eschkolim. Then we learned Sarim Meir, which is an example of somebody gets Skila. Now we're going on to Srefa. We're going on from one Misa to the next. So who are they? Eilein and Achnokim. And actually what happens in this Mishnah, in this Perak, is that the Mishnah here lists the people who are chayiv chenek, and then the follow-up mishnayis in this parak are going to discuss all of these halachas. Hamak of v'inoy, somebody who hits his parent, the gadim nefesh misrael, somebody kidnaps a Jew, zokim memory of pibezdin, somebody who is a zokain, who is a talmud chacham, who rebels against the psak of the Sanhedrin gedoyla in the lishkas hagozes. We spend a lot of time learning these halachas. V'novi ha-shaker, v'amisnabei, v'shem avodis kechavim, v'abor ha-eshes ish, somebody who has relations with an eshes ish, who is a nesua, v'zoymen bei bas koyin u bayalam. Just to review. The Torah says, v'bas ish koyin, kisecha liznois, esavio hi michaleles, v'esh tisarif. If she has an adulterous relationship, she's singled out to get sreifa, not chenek. So the way the halach is, the way the rabbanon learn, a nesua, as we just said, normally gets chenek, a bas koyin gets sreifa. We also know the halach is that if some edim zamim, the din is vasisim loikash zomam lasis lochav. Whatever punishment he wanted to inflict comes to him. So here the halach would be that if edim falsely, Edom Zomim said that she was a bas koyin who was mezana, they ought to get sreifa. The Torah says that they don't get sreifa, they get chenek. And the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Certainly in a case with the same testimony, not only about the woman who's a bas koyin, but they're also saying edus about the adulterer, that the din is that the adulterer gets chenek, they're going to get chenek. Why would we give him her punishment? They'll give him his punishment. But even in a case where they're not saying testimony, this is what the Mefarshim explain our Mishnah, and I'll show you the order of the Mishnah in a moment. There even a case where they're not saying testimony about him. Let's say he was a cotton. Let's say he's not here. So the only testimony about her, would a halacha of a sisim loikash zomim lasis lochav or dictate that they get sreifa? We learn loachiv loy lachoisai, and their oynish will be chenik, even though they wanted to get her to get sreifa. And that's what the Mishnah says. Zomim bebas koyin, what is only saying about the bas koyin, and certainly when there's a bayala, when they're saying about the adulterer, even though the halach ought to be, we would think, that they should be subject to sreifa, they only get chenek. Says the Gemara, Maka ovi v'imoy menola. How do we know that some is Maka ovi v'imoy is chayif chenek? The ksiv, Maka ovi v'imoy mois yumas. The kol misa amur b'tar stam. Wherever the Torah uses the word misa, ain't el chenek. Ask the Gemara, Eimed ad kotalei mito. Maybe there only some is chayif chenek only until he actually killed a parent. Says the Gemara, Sak datach. Does that make any sense? Kotel chad, if he just goes kill somebody in the street, he'll be chayif sayif. And now, if he kills a parent, which certainly is a more serious sin, he'll get a lesser punishment of chenek, v'avir b'chenek. So it can't be that the Torah refers, says the Gemara, to killing a parent. The Torah refers to hitting a parent, and that's when there's the chenek. Says the Gemara, this line of reasoning only works, hanich l'mandam chenekal, as we learned earlier, machloik is tanom, which is a more serious punishment, chenek or hered. So if we say chenek is a less serious punishment, so it's very understandable. It doesn't make any sense to say that killing a parent carries a lesser punishment. Elman the omer, according to the opinion that says, chenek is chomer, Michael Maimer, we should be able to suggest that everybody that you're only chayiv for killing a parent. And what the Torah is saying is, the whereas, when you kill another person, you're only chayiv hereg. If it's a parent, you're chayiv chenek. How do we know that just for killing a parent, according to this opinion, there's a chayiv chenek? Vada Kikasha from Kivega. Kivega asks, do we know, the Gemara says this in a number of places, how do we know that our fathers are our fathers? That our mothers are mothers is a fact. We come out of our womb. But how do we really know that our father is our father? Because we have a klal. Roy bi'ilois achar habal. Our mother had relations with her husband, with our father, not with somebody else. Ask Kivega, if somebody kills someone else, cherek, he's certainly chayif. If it's a parent, he's chayif chenek. Ask, according to the Gemara at this point. Ask Kivega, if he's certainly chayif cherek, and chenek will only say is chai based on a roiv. So why would we give him chenek, which we have to rely on a roiv? Give him chenek. Give him herig, where there's no need to have any questions, and we don't have to rely on a roiv. So I saw two answers to this question. One answer to the question is as follows. Absolutely. It goes back to halachas that we've learned. If the hasra that was given was just an hasra, you're not allowed to kill. Indeed, maybe we should just give him herig, not chenek. But what happens if he gave him asra, what you're doing, you can get chenek? So you can't give herik, because he specifically said herik. He specifically said chenek. And now we're going to say, we should give him herik, we can't give him herik, because it wasn't mentioned. For that, we can rely on a roiv to give chenek. One teretz. Another teretz, Rikivega suggests, is a very nice teretz. He says as follows. If we were relying on the roiv, specifically to tell us which misa to give, rather give chenek versus herik, would be a good question. Why rely on the roiv? Don't come on to roiv. The roiv, we don't rely on the roiv specifically for this question. We rely on the roiv from the moment the child is born. If he's a Bukhari, has a pinyan aben. Why? Because we rely on the roiv. On all sorts of shailas, we rely on the roiv. So it's, the roiv is not coming to paskin this shaila. The roiv is paskin already in shaila many, many times. Now, based on the psak that we have in place, we want to continue assuming that that's a father. That's not called relying on a roif. So we're back to where we started. How do we know that just hitting a parent comes with the punishment of chenek? Elamidik siv, mak ish v'meis, mois yumas. V'ksiv, oy be'eva hiko b'yod v'yomas. Shema minah, from here we see, the kol hecha that dika kostam la mesehu. Only where the Torah meant Misa, so the Torah spells it out. If the Torah didn't mean Misa, if the Torah didn't use the word Misa, it meant Hakostam. Since when the Torah says Maka of the Imoi, it doesn't say Misa, it's a Raya that just hitting carries this Einish. Says the Gemara, since we spoke about murdering other people, the Gemara goes into it for a moment. Vitzra l'michta mak ish, Vitzra l'michta kol mak nefesh. Dikos rechmona mak ish v'meis, hav min ish the bar mitzvah in. Only for the murder of an adult is there a chiyuv misa, cotton loy. But if somebody, Rechmal and Tzlan, kills a cotton, there is no chiyuv misa. Kas rachmana kol makan nefesh. Killing any Jew. Because rachmana kol makan nefesh. Have a mina feel in the fallen. Even if the person that was killed is possibly a nefil. Or afil ben shmoyna, we know the Gemara says many times. In the times of Chazal, a child that was born to the eighth month can't survive. So maybe if somebody murdered such an individual, he's also chayiv misa, tzricha. The machlaikis, rishonim, who is the nefil that the Gemara refers to? Rashi says, normally, nefil means somebody that's not 30 days old. We don't know if he's going to survive. Rashi doesn't learn that pshat here in nefil. If we look about Rashi, when he defines nefil in this Gemara, Rashi says a nefil is somebody who has a serious disease, a serious deformity, where there's a good chance that he won't survive. Tysus disagrees. Tysus defines nefil like the Gemara always defines nefil. Somebody who's not, a child who's not yet 30 days old. What's the machlokes Rashi and Tysus? So the first one explain. Rashi is of the opinion that a child, even though he's not just 30 days old, we have every reason to assume he's going to survive. Unless, and therefore, if somebody kills such a child, Rahman al-Tzlan, he is a murderer. Taisa says no. Until he's 30 days old, we don't know, and therefore he's not considered a murderer. Says the Gemara. Beima, afgav delay of a bechabura. Perhaps, if we're learning, we go back to Maka of a v'imai. Perhaps the isser of hitting a parent is even if he didn't do a wound. Alamatnan, we're going to learn it tomorrow. The Mishnah says, Hamaka ova v'imoy ein achayiv atchias mechabura. Yashla has to cause a wound. Anything less is not considered maka ova v'imoy. Answers the Gemara, Amakra. The Torah says, Maka Adam or Maka Behema. The Torah speaks about both of them. Ma Maka Behema. It's not considered that you did anything. Ad the ova b'chabura, the ksiba nefesh. The Torah says, Maka Nefesh. Af Maka Adam. It's not considered that you did something adav chabura. Says the Gemara, is that true? Maskula Rabbi Yimriya Elam Ata. What will be the halacha? Hikisha bavonim. If somebody threw stones at an animal and he damaged the animal, doesn't have a permanent wound, but he damaged him. Hachinami dvoim chayiv. So of course you're chayiv. As the Chasam Sofer explains, the reason you're chayiv when you cause damage to an animal is because I caused you a financial damage. So what's the difference if there's a chabura or not? It's the financial damage that I'm paying for. So says the Gemara, Elam in any ninyan nefesh behema. The Torah says maka nefesh when somebody wounds an animal. But as we just explained, it can't mean that you did a chabura. Because as we explained, dohinami hikisha bevanim, even if you didn't do a chabura, the halacha is yachayiv. So when the Torah uses the words maka nefesh, what's it coming to teach us? Tneu inyal nefesh adam. It's come to teach us that it's only considered a makkah by nefesh adam if you made a chabura. So from here we see, we're going to discuss this more in the Gemara, that causing any hakor, any damage to a person, is asur. So the Paiskim asked, if so, how could somebody do plastic surgery? When you do plastic surgery, you're wounding the person, making a chabura. And here we're learning that's asur to make a chabura. Suppose we say a very interesting teretz. A person who has plastic surgery is obviously suffering psychological distress. He has a big nose. It bothers him. Psychological distress is also considered diseased. And therefore, you're allowed to do it because it's like considered tzarech refuah. However, asked the Gemara, we just said a moment ago, the Torah puts together mak adam, mak behema. We have a hekish. What is the purpose of that hekish? Answers the Gemara l'chretanya. For we just learned the other day on daf ayin tes. L'chretanya by Chizkiya. To teach us what Chizkiya taught us. That Chizkiya taught us, just to quickly review. We notice the din of kimelei with the rabbinay. The din of kimelei with the rabbinay says that if you chayiv two punishments, you get the more serious punishment. Comes along Chizkiya and says that if somebody murders someone else, b'shaygik, so he's not chayiv misa, it's b'shaygik. But since had he done that aveira b'mezid, he would be chayiv misa. The halacha is that even if he did a b'shagig, he's not chayiv mamon. How do we know it? Because Chizkiya learned hekish between mak adam mak behema. That just like mak adam behema, you're always chayiv mamon. Says Chizkiya by mak adam, even if you kill the person b'shagig,
you're not chayiv mamon. Says the Gemara, fine. The opinion that learned that follows Chizkiah's opinion, now we understand the purpose of the Hekesh. But as we know, not everybody agrees with Chizkiah. Answers the Gemara to teach us. Just like if somebody makes a hakar on an animal for therapeutic reasons, he's potter. If somebody does it for therapeutic purposes, he's potter. As there actually is a shayla. Ben mash yakas dam l'aviv. Is a son allowed to let blood for the father? Ramast amar. Answers Ramast. The pasuk says, v'aftal raf k'maifla. And making a refuah, doing a refuah, is certainly very commendable. Rav Dimi b'chinen amar. How do we know that you're allowed to do it l'refuah? Maka odam and maka behema. The Torah puts them together. Ma maka behema l'refuah is potter. Af maka odam l'refuah is potter. However, says the Gemara, Rav l'shavak l'brei l'mishkele sulua. Rav did not allow his son to take out a splinter. Ma brei de Ravina l'shavak l'brei l'miftach l'kivsa. If he had a boil, he didn't allow him to open it up to take out the pus. D'machavel, maybe he'll end up wounding him. Vav l'shigis iser, and he'll be over the iser of mak of v'imai. Ask the Gemara based on what we've learned. Ihoch achanami. We learned that you're not allowed to wound, one Jew is not allowed to wound another Jew. So if so, just like we're saying that a son shouldn't do it for a parent, the law shouldn't be that one Jew can't do it for another Jew. He may end up wounding another Jew. Answers the Gemara, Acher shigigas lav benoi shigigas chenek. Simple way of learning the Gemara, very poshut. By a parent, you're playing with fire. Hakos aviv imoi carries with it an oinish of chenek. However, by another Jew, only carries with it in a salaf. So we're much stricter by chiyiv chenek, by chiyiv misa, than by chiyiv lav. Other Rishonim explain as follows. If somebody ends up wounding somebody else during a therapeutic procedure, it's a davar she'ein miskaven. So if it's only a chiyiv lav, there is no isser by davar she'ein miskaven. Whereas if it's a chiyiv misa, there is a chiyuv even by a davar she'ein miskaven. Here we have a very big machlokes rishonim. What is indeed the halacha? Question that comes up very often, unfortunately. May a son do a medical procedure on a parent? The Rambam and the Ramah, Paskin, as it seems from our Gemara, that it's mutter. They say, however, only the Leka Acher. If there's someone else who's readily available, don't. Otherwise, they should do it. Otherwise, a son may do it. The question comes up very often, is a son allowed to give a parent an insulin injection? The Rif, the Ran, the Rosh, Shulchan Aruch, say no. That our Gemara tells us that since there's always this concern that it may end up with a wound, and it's a Shai of Achiv Misa, we shouldn't do it. And the Paiskim discussed this halacha, unfortunately comes up, with a lot of different circumstances. Certainly the Paiskim say that if it's a Shaila Pekuach Nefesh, the son should do whatever it takes. He shouldn't start asking questions. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that let's say the son is more qualified to do the medical procedure than another person. Let's say somebody has a son who's a doctor. And my son's the best doctor. So he could do it better than another doctor. So the halacha is that the son should do it. What is the halacha? Your son will do it for free. If you'll take somebody else, you'll have to pay. What's the din? So I actually saw Machloek Sapaiskim. The Geshur Achayim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach say, at that point the son should do it. However, in Vosnai, I saw in the Shevet Alevi, says that no. Unless it's a very great expense, you should take somebody else. But now we have a very big Machloek Sapaiskim. And this is the most cogent Shaila. What would be the halacha if the father is Michael? The father says, I allow my son to do it. What will be the din? Meches Chinuch says then, if the father's Michael, there's no problem. Son could certainly do it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach agrees with the Meches Chinuch l'halach l'maisa. Tori Evin disagrees. And Tori Evin has a great raya. He says, Al Gemara is a raya. Because Al Gemara is saying about all these cases that they didn't do it for their father. Now obviously the father was Michael. If the halacha is that if the father is meichel, it's no problem, so why didn't they do it? So how does the Michas Chinuch defend his opinion? Michas Chinuch has to defend his opinion that even though the father was meichel, in all these circumstances there was a real concern that the son would do damage to the father. And when there's a real concern that the son is going to do damage to the father, that's when, even if he was meichel, the Michas Chinuch is concerned. But where that concern doesn't really exist, and the father was meichel, says the Michas Chinuch, there's no question, it may be done. Ask the Gemara, Vodatnan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos, Machat Shel Yad, somebody could take a needle on Shabbos, little boy, as a kites, to take out, one more point, interesting. Rav Chaim Kanievsky paskins that a son should not give a father a haircut. Because there's always a concern, especially an amateur, giving a haircut, you're going to make a cut, that's a chabura. So he says a son should not give a haircut. And he says even if it's an experienced barber, there's no guarantee that an experienced barber won't sometimes make a cut, and you're playing with a chiv misa. Ask the Gemara, Vodatnan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Machot Shiyad Litl Bais HaKoyts, why are we allowed to do that? Leichish Dilma Chavel, maybe while you're trying to take out the splinter in Shabbos, you're going to wound him. Vavalei Shigigah Skila, causing wound, is an Issa of Netila Shat Neshama, which is a Chiv Skila. Answers the Gemara, Hos Mekalkalhu. Since you're doing it in a destructive fashion, so it's not considered Chil Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Hanich Lamandama Mekalkal Potter, this is Machloikis in Mesech the Shabbos, that if you did it in a destructive fashion, if it's also or not. So like the Mandama, according to the Mandama, that's Potter, our Gemara works well. However, ask the Gemara, El Lamandama Chayiv, according to Mandam that says the Makalkal is Chayiv. So, again, we have back to our old question, how are you allowed to take out? How are you allowed to take out a splinter or anything? On Shabbos, you may be making a Chabura, which is a Chiv Deraisa, and now we're saying that whenever there's a chance of doing a Chiv Deraisa, we should avoid doing it. El Mandam Chayiv, Mayikla Meimer, answers the Gemara, Man Shamatle, Dom Makalkal B'Chabur Chayiv. Who is the Mandam that takes the strict position on Makalkal? Rav Shimon, says the Gemara, on one hand, Rav Shimon is a machmer in Hilchus Makalkal, but he's a makel in a different shayla. Rav Shimon is of the opinion that a mochsh and a tzrich legufa you potter, and taking out a splinter or opening up a boil is a mochsh and a tzrich legufa. Why? Machlokes Rishonim, what is the definition? We're not learning Masechta Shabbos now, but it's a good chazara. What is the definition of Malach Shen Etzrich Lagufa? Rashi's opinion of Malach Shen Etzrich Lagufa is, I would have been much better off without having the problem. So here's a perfect example. Somebody has a splinter. Somebody has a boil. He would be much better off not having it in the first place. He's only dealing with it because he has the problem Malach Shen Etzrich, because he has this. That's in the category of Malach Shen Etzrich Lagufa. And according to Rav Shimon, as we just said, Malach Shen Etzrich Lagufa is potter. Tosfos disagrees. The Tosfos, almost everything in life you would rather not have to do if you didn't have to do it. So what, if according to Taisus, almost every malacha ought to be a malach shen etzrich legufa. So Taisus has a different definition of malach shen etzrich legufa. Taisus' definition of malach shen etzrich legufa is that only something which is creative is considered a malach on Shabbos. Something which is not creating something is not a malach on Shabbos. Taking out a splinter, opening up a boil is not a creating something. It's just taking away the splinter or the boil. And that's why it's a malach shen etzrich legufa. So the Rishonim point out, this Gemara is going to have to follow the following Mahalach. Rav Shimon is going to say, you're not chayiv in Shabbos with the Machat, because it's Malach Shen Etzrich Legufa. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, holds Malach Shen Etzrich Legufa as chayiv. So we don't have that reason to say, you're allowed to do it. Yehuda is going to have to be the Mandom that holds Mekalkel is Potter. So now what we've accomplished, say the Rishonim, is that we connected these two Machloikas in. The Machloikas regarding Malach Shen Etzrich Legufa, and the Mechloikas and Mekalkal travel together. Rabbi Yehuda is a Mekal on Mekalkal, and a Machmer on Melach Shen Etzrich Legufa. Rabbi Shimon is a Machmer on Mekalkal, and a Mekal on Melach Shen Etzrich Legufa.